Okay, day three, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Hey. So a brief introduction. We've been discussing Kriyat Shema. We know that Kriyat Shema has three paragraphs after the word Shema itself. Ve'ahavta, ve'haya, and ve'yomer. Now from the Torah's perspective, Shema is really just the first two. Ve'ahavta and ve'haya. Chazal added ve'yomer because there's another mitzvah that we have to do every day besides for Kriyat Shema, and that is mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, mention leaving Egypt. So Chazal added Vayomer at the end of Shema to help us fulfill that obligation as well. We know that Shema itself, meaning the first two paragraphs, needs to be said at night and during the day, V'shach b'chav kumecha. The question is, what about that last paragraph? What about the mitzvah of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim? Do we have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim at night as well, or is it just during the day? So the question is, do we say Vayomer at night as well, or is that last paragraph only reserved for daytime? It says the Mishnah, Maskir Yetzias Mitzrayim, Balelos. Definitively, we absolutely do mention Yetzias Mitzrayim at night, and therefore we say Vayomer at night as well. Amar Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, this should hopefully sound familiar to us, and this is taken, this Mishnah is taken and put right into a Haragadah on Pesach. So hopefully we read this every single year twice. If we're not in Eretz Yisrael, then just once. Amar Elazar ben Azariah said, Harei ani kivin shivan shana. I was like 70 years old. Chazal explained what that means. He was really young, but then he was had tremendous wisdom, like an 80-year-old, but he looked very young, so there was a great miracle that basically overnight he became more mature-looking so that he would be respected more. But anyway, I was like 70 years old, very wise. And I always knew, I intuitively knew that we should absolutely be mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim at night, but I couldn't explain why. I had no proof for it, right? I couldn't tell people the reason. Until Ben Zoma came around. Shen Emar, and he made the following drasha. Says the Pasuk, L'man tizkor etzom teitzcha me'eretzrayim kol yimei chayecha. So that we remember Yetzias Mitzrayim when kol yimei chayecha, all the days of your life. Says Ben Zoma, there's an extra word there. Yimei chayecha, I understand means, right, the days of my life. I understand it should mean, I should say it during the, I should remember Yetzias Mitzrayim during the day. Kol yimei chayecha, all the days, means the entirety of the day, which means both day and night, right? Yimei chayecha, hayamim, kol yimei chayecha includes halelos. Says Elazar ben Azariah, that is the proof that we say Yetzias Mitzrayim at night, kol yimei chayecha, the entirety of the day. The Chum understood it differently. Yimei chayecha means ha'olam hazeh, yimei chayecha means this world, kol yimei chayecha, all the days of your life, means lahavi lamos Mashiach. Even when Mashiach comes and we're still fulfilling mitzvos, we still have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim then, right? According to the Rambam, the time of Mashiach is not quite as supernatural as we think. It's going to be a time when there is an accepted Jewish leader in a Jewish homeland. So then we have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim as well. But the main point of bringing that drasha up is that we have finally a proof text, according to Elazar ben Azariah, of saying Yetzias Mitzrayim at night as well. Okay, so we do say Vayomer at night. Perek Beis, we're already up to the second Perek. Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph. Hayakor b'Torah, someone was learning Torah and got up to the part of Shema, right? Shema's in the Torah itself. So they're just learning Torah, the Yegiyah Zman HaMikra. But at that time, the time for mitzvah, the time to say Shema actually came, the time to fulfill the mitzvah. So what do you do? Im kivin libo, if the person says, as he's learning this parsha of Shema, he has in mind, and he says, I want to fulfill my mitzvah of Shema right now, yatza, it works. He fulfills his obligation, vim lav, but if he didn't have in mind, right, he was just learning Torah and it happened to be, he was learning Shema and it happened to be that the zman for Shema passed, but he didn't have in mind to fulfill it, lo yatza, it does not work. Now, as an aside, there are two opinions in the Gemara as to whether mitzvahs generally need kavanah. Do you have to have intent when fulfilling a mitzvah in order for it to work? It sounds like this Mishnah is siding with the opinion that says, yes, you do. You have to have kavanah. Why? Because the Mishnah said that if you don't have kavanah, then you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Shema. But there are those who explain, no, this Mishnah could be accepted and true even according to those who generally say you don't need kavanah. Why? Because when they say you don't need kavanah, that means by actions. Mitzvahs that require actions. For example, tzedakah. When I give tzedakah, even if I didn't have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah, at the end of the day, the action accomplished what it needed to, right? At the end of the day, the person who needed tzedakah has tzedakah now, right? It doesn't matter whether I intended to. But when it comes to something like tefillah, something you say, something in your heart, the entirety of it is the kavanah. It's the intent itself. You couldn't possibly be yotzei tefillah without thinking about tefillah, right? The entirety of the mitzvah, there is nothing. As opposed to tzedakah, you still gave the mitzvah even if you didn't think about it. Here, there's nothing without kavanah. So this would apply even to those who don't require you to have kavanah by other mitzvahs. Okay. Now we're going to get to a conversation about if you're davening, if you're saying Kriya Shema, and someone comes up to you, when are you allowed to interrupt? You really shouldn't interrupt Kriya Shema. When are you allowed to interrupt, and for what type of person? So, Biprakim, if you are in between Prakim, right, in between Prakim, Shoel and Bnei HaKavod, you are allowed to ask the welfare, you're allowed to say, hi, how are you, to someone who deserves our respect, kavod, like a parent or Rebbe, umeshiv, and you're certainly allowed to respond to such a person. Uve emtza, and if you're in the middle of a perek, which is more almost egregious, so to say, to interrupt in the middle of a perek, not between perek, perekim, but in the middle, you're only allowed, shalom nehayir, you're only allowed to ask the welfare of someone who you fear, like a ruler, but not someone who just commands respect. Umeshiv, and you're certainly allowed to respond to that great person of power and a ruler as well. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, be'emtza shalom nehayir, when you're in the middle of a perek, right, literally in the middle of a hafta, right, he agrees you're allowed to ask only, you're only allowed to initiate, to say, hi, how are you, to a ruler, but umeshiv ne'akavod, you're allowed to respond even to someone who is only, so to say, quote unquote, only a person that you ought to respect, like a parent or a rav. And then, ba prakim, but between prakim, right, show of ne'akavod, again, you're allowed to initiate, just like Rabbi Meir said, you're allowed to initiate to someone of kavod, and say, how are you, to a parent or to a rav, umeshiv, but you're allowed to respond, umeshiv shalom lechol adam, you're allowed to respond to any person. So if you're in between prakim and someone says, hi, how are you, you don't have to be disrespectful, you're actually allowed to respond to anyone between prakim, even though you shouldn't initiate. We will continue tomorrow with explaining what does it mean, what are these prakim, you know, what is considered in between a parak, what's in between prakim.